Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The words for our meditation today are those words we just heard from Sarah as she read from Acts 2. But I think verse 4 is one that we should maybe hear one more time because it's some pretty amazing words there. It says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. All of them were speaking in tongues. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. We just celebrated my daughter's baptism, and we had, five adults or so and a whole bunch of kids, maybe 20. Now, if you go back to the day of Pentecost, how many people were hiding out together in that room before they were filled with the Holy Spirit? Anybody know? 120? So, pretty close to this room. You know, some of us might joke, it's Pentecost Sunday, we're going to go out and we're going to speak in tongues and we're going to do all sorts of crazy things. And we laugh about that sometimes. But could you imagine if we were all filled with the Holy Spirit here in this room in a way that was supernatural, and we left this church building and we crossed the street over to the dorms, and there were some international students from China, from Indonesia, and through that filling of the Holy Spirit, we started speaking in their native tongues the special words that Jesus has for us. Could you imagine the impact it could have on those students? Could you imagine what it would be like as we share that word, as the Holy Spirit could work through us and with us? What could happen just here on this campus, right across the street? Today's the day of Pentecost. It is an amazing day, and we celebrate the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, though, is one of the most misunderstood persons of the Trinity. Now, there's only three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we don't always understand who this Holy Spirit is. So we're going to talk about that today. Who is the Holy Spirit? We know from what we just said in the baptism, you know, we believe in God the Father, we believe in Jesus Christ, and then we believe in the Holy Spirit. So we obviously know that He is the third person of the Trinity, right? And we often kind of recite that third article, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, Community of Saints. And do we really give that thought? Who is the Holy Spirit? What is that mean in our life? Well, the Holy Spirit, being the third person of the Trinity, was present at creation. We hear in the book of Genesis that He was hovering, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. A lot of us think that the Holy Spirit was just making this first appearance there on the day of Pentecost, right? But that's not the case. He is true God. He's always been and always will. It was the Holy Spirit that did come to the apostles and the disciples on the day of Pentecost, just as Jesus had promised on the day of Ascension, and gave them His special gifts. One of those special gifts that was given to the apostles and the disciples were to be able to speak in languages that they had previously not known, so that the Holy Spirit could work faith in their hearts, so that the people could understand in their own tongue. The Holy Spirit did not just begin His work there on the day of Pentecost, though. We hear of the Holy Spirit working all through the Old Testament. And we hear of Him working all through the New Testament then as well. And we are considered the New Testament people. The Holy Spirit does quite a bit of different things in us, though. There's so much that the Holy Spirit works in us, through us, and with us. One of which, the Holy Spirit uses God's Word to work faith in our hearts. As He works faith in our hearts, we hear the good news of the gospel. When we listen to God's Word, we hear in 1 Peter 1, verse 23, that you have been born again, born spiritually as a child of God, through the living and enduring Word of Christ. Born again. Did we hear that word ever again before? Maybe just a couple minutes ago in baptism? Kind of neat how this worked out today, isn't it? That we can celebrate the Holy Spirit working in our born-again daughter on Pentecost Sunday when we celebrate the Holy Spirit. But we continue on in Romans 1, verse 16. It says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Or in Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. How very important it is to read the gospel message, to be in study through Bible study, to be in devotion, to hear God's word so that the Spirit can be working in us and through us. Stephen, a couple chapters later in Acts 7, from the gospel message that we heard in Acts, from the sermon message we heard in Acts 2, warns us before he was stoned to death, though, being complacent with God's word. He says, "You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you're just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit." Or in Ephesians 4, verse 30, we're reminded that we should not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. But when do we grieve the Holy Spirit? God has given us his word to study, to learn. And we grieve the Holy Spirit when we don't listen to his word, when we don't be in study, in fellowship with him, when we don't come and hear his word. And I'm not talking about just on Sunday. I'm talking about every day of our lives. He has given us Americans a special blessing of being able to read God's word in so many different ways. We all most likely have a Bible in our house. We all most likely have access to a smartphone or a computer where God's word is accessed, right? There is no reason, no excuse that we have not to be in study of God's word. And we grieve the Spirit when we do not. When we cut ourselves off from this living and everlasting word of God, the power of God for the salvation of everyone, we can lose our faith. We can lose that Spirit working in us and through us. So I want to remind you again how important it is to read and hear God's word, to receive the sacrament of Holy Communion, to watch as our children get baptized, and to look for opportunities to share his word with others. Today, we are blessed to be able to witness Sarah Marie enter into the kingdom of God through that word, through that sacrament of holy baptism. Here, the Spirit worked through the water and the word, and it's such a mystery. So when we think about that mystery, we often want to go back and go, what does this mean? How do we understand baptism? Well, any good Lutheran knows when we say, what does this mean? Where do we go back to? The catechism, of course. So what does Luther's catechism say when we say, what does this mean about holy baptism? I should probably ask John because he's been forced to memorize this a lot in the last year, right? But what benefits does baptism give? In Luther's catechism, it says it works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. But it continues in the catechism and says, how can water do such great things? Certainly not just water, but the word of God in and with the water does these things, along with the faith which trusts this word of God in the water. For without God's word in the water is plain water and no baptism. Just as we were sharing with the kids, it's just Ypsilanti city water. But with the word of God, it is a baptism. That is a life-giving water, rich in grace and a washing of the new birth in the Holy Spirit. New birth in the Spirit. Sounds great timing today, doesn't it? Today we're celebrating Pentecost. Today my daughter's receiving new birth in that Holy Spirit. Just what is this birth in the Holy Spirit? We're going to come back to that in just a moment. But we're also, just after this message, we're going to celebrate. We're going to watch another one of my children, Jonathan, talk about that new birth and receive that celebration that, well, his sponsor Dan and Susie and I said for him when he was a baby. He's going to say it for himself. He's had the gift of the Holy Spirit on him since he was baptized, but now he's going to ask for it for himself and say, I want more. I believe in Jesus for myself, not just what my parents said for me, not just what my sponsor Dan said for me, but I want it for myself. I want the Spirit to fill me for myself. There's a lot of filling of the Spirit going on here today, isn't there? But it doesn't just stop there. Today is a day that we celebrate here at church. It's a day of Pentecost. And, you know, some of you who know me pretty well like to hear me talk about being the king of useless trivia. And if you go to trivia night, that's somewhat helpful sometimes, but usually it's not. But you know, one of the useless trivia things, as I was reading this passage in Acts 2, verse 1, it had this line. It says, when the day of Pentecost had come. And you know, usually when you read something that says, when the day of Pentecost had come, you don't call something, like when Jesus was born, it wasn't called Christmas, right? So it struck me, like, what is this? Well, when you do a little research on the day of Pentecost, did you know that Pentecost was already celebrated even before the Holy Spirit came on the disciples on that day? Absolutely. The day of Pentecost, which we know as 50 days after Easter, was actually celebrated as a day of harvest. It has another Greek word called, it's actually a word called Shavuot, which is the festival of weeks, but the Greek name for this day counted how many days it came after the Passover, Pentecost, 50. So the day of harvest. Think about that for a moment. The Jews were celebrating the day of harvest for how many years? And then the Holy Spirit comes, fills the disciples and the apostles, and they go out, and they share with the people there in Jerusalem, filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit fills all these other people that have come for the day of harvest. People have come from Nigeria, from Africa, from Asia, all over the world to celebrate this day of harvest. And what's being harvested? They are. Their souls are being harvested for the kingdom of heaven. Because the Holy Spirit then works within them, gives them faith and works within them so that they can know that saving power of Jesus Christ in their lives. It's amazing how God puts all these things together, isn't it? That the day of harvest was the day of Pentecost. Can't we celebrate the day of harvest as well? Can't we celebrate that the Holy Spirit can work within us and He can use us to share His word with others so that those souls can be harvested for His kingdom as well? In Matthew 9 and Luke 10, Jesus spoke of that work of the church, or the gospel harvest, saying, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest." On Pentecost, the Lord sent out the first fruits of that harvest in a manner of speaking, didn't He? Those who came to believe on that day were among the first fruits of the gospel and among the very first members of what we now call the Christian church. On that day, the pouring of the Spirit was visible. It was a visible and tangible reminder that Christ was working in the church. It was a work of God, not of man, because none of those people knew those other languages. Those disciples didn't go and study Nigerian or French or Turkish before they started speaking it. If we went out right now, all of us, mostly white, German-looking, and spoke perfect Chinese or Filipino across the street, would it be pretty obvious that God was doing something special within us? Well, that's what was happening on that day of Pentecost, and that harvest was huge. So, how do we see the work of the Holy Spirit in us here at church? How do we see that Spirit working? Well, you know, the fruits of the Spirit, and we know what these are from Galatians 5, say that the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. How do we see those things at work in our church? Well, joy, I think, was pretty obvious. When we had baptism up here, I looked down at all the kids here, and there were a lot of kids, at least at the beginning before they got a little bored with sitting in one spot for too long, were just filled with joy and smiling, right? How about love? Are we experiencing love with some of our kids being watched and nurtured in the nursery? How about self-control and patience? You know, here at church, we're all pretty human, and things don't always go the way we want planned. And I'm sorry, Sarah, I have to pick on you here for a moment, but I asked Sarah, "Hey, Sarah, did you know that today you're doing the reading?" She says, "Nope, I didn't get the email." She had a lot of self-control and patience not to say something else, like, "What are you talking about? I'm not reading today." Self-control and patience. We see these fruits of the Spirit every day, but are we looking for them? Are we looking for how God, the Holy Spirit, is manifesting itself in us? How He can work through us with those love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control? He is working through us and in us. A lot of us are hurting. We're struggling with a lot of different things that are going on in our life. And when the Holy Spirit works within us, when we ask Him and invite Him into our hearts and say, "God, please work within me," He will give you that peace that can only come from Him. But we have to stop and say, "Lord, Fill me with your Spirit. And how does that happen? How does the Spirit manifest itself in us? When we study His Word, when we constantly are in His Word, learning what He has for us, hearing His message for us day by day, and working to see what He has for us in our life. Pentecost is that day that the Lord jump-started the church, so to speak. He kind of kicked it up a notch, didn't He? I mean, the Holy Spirit had been working in the lives of these people. He'd been around. In fact, as Jesus was ascending to heaven, He looked down to the disciples and said, I give you my Spirit. But that didn't really do a whole lot. What did those apostles and disciples go do? They went and hid out in that room, right? Didn't mean the Spirit wasn't there. But 10 days later, on Pentecost, things were really kicked up. The Spirit was working with them and through them. Even when God is doing something special, we don't always expect the world to understand, though, do we? When the Spirit is working within us, we can't expect people around us to really get what's going on. But we can ask the Spirit to work within them as well. We can ask Him to be with us and guide us and talk to us. So today, here in Pentecost, we're sitting here in church. We're sitting here in the sanctuary. We're gathered to celebrate the work of the Holy Spirit. We're celebrating Sarah's baptism. We're celebrating John's confirmation. We're here celebrating the Holy Spirit working in this church, working in us and through us. And how? Do we hear this loud noise of that rushing wind that happened on Pentecost Sunday? No, I'm not hearing it right now. I'm not looking out at you guys. I'm not seeing any tongues of fire on you. But the Lord sends His Spirit in other ways. He sends His Spirit both in the preaching of the Word, in the waters of baptism. He works in us and through us in so many other different ways. I think of how the Spirit works and manifests itself in some supernatural ways, using Jim and Marcia and the gift of healing. I've seen that personally in my family, how the Holy Spirit has worked through them to heal my daughter's ankle, to heal my other daughter's heart. The Holy Spirit can do some supernatural things in us and through us. The purpose of Pentecost, the purpose of sending the Spirit, Jesus says that the Spirit might lead God's people into all truth. We hear that in John 16, verses 12 and 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into that truth. And at the same time, it's going to convict the world. The work of the Holy Spirit goes way beyond conversation. It sanctifies life and all the living. The Holy Spirit of God, show us the way. He will give us both the will and the way to do what God calls us to do. We can see some pretty cool evidence of the Spirit working all around us, but we don't always open our eyes to it. Sometimes we ask God to send that big wind so we see it, but He doesn't always do that. We see fruits like we mentioned before, but we don't always remember that those are fruits of the Spirit. It is the evidence of the Spirit working in us and through us. Meanwhile, as we wait for supernatural evidences, could you imagine if we all, each, asked for the Spirit to fill us like the apostles were on the day of Pentecost? Could you imagine what would happen if each one of us asked God to use us as His instruments to share His love with other people so that we can make an impact on the world? There's only about 120 people here in this room right now. Similar to how many of the apostles were at that time of Pentecost. Could you imagine the impact that we could have here in Ypsilanti, in Dexter, in Ann Arbor, in Saline, in Hamburg? Could you imagine the impact we could have on Washtenaw County if we asked the Spirit to work through us supernaturally to spread His Word? He can and will do that. When we ask Him, I don't see any reason why He can't use us all to be His light into the world. When it comes to what the Holy Spirit does, He doesn't just add one by one by one. But after Pentecost, it was like multiplication times of thousands. How many people were saved on that day? 3,000 were added to their numbers. From how many people that the Spirit filled? When we ask for that Spirit to work through us so we can share that special message, that message that we all know that Jesus died on the cross for us to take away our sins so we can receive that special assurance of forgiveness, when we can spread that message around so that the Spirit can work through others, working faith in their hearts and passing on that message again and again, What an awesome day that can be, isn't it? Well, praise be to God that He has and will send His Spirit to us. He can work through us and does work in us and through us. Amen.